Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everyone. Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And Jamie Jennings here from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for February 9th, 2011, episode 73, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Let's think of this as a great big adventure.
Yeah.
An adventure.
Come on, it won't be that bad. It'll be an adventure.
Something we promise is gonna excite you. An adventure is something as thrilling as it can be.
I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride. Like a bird was born to fly. Fish gotta swim, some gotta shine.
Well, that was in honor of our first guest today, which Jennifer is going to tell us about right now.
On today's show, Sarah Lee will be here with us to talk about the ultimate equestrian adventure, as you may have guessed, the Mongol Derby. You're going to love this one, folks. Next up, Christy and Dr. Jones will be here with a plethora of good, great info about caring for your senior horses on the horse.com health report. And to wrap up the show, Angela from Horse Girl TV will be here to edutain us with some eco-friendly horse keeping techniques. And then Jamie and Glenn will also be providing a certain amount of comic relief throughout the show. So stay tuned.
Well,
we're the comic
all right.
Relief, Jamie.
She makes it sound better than we really are, but I don't know about that.
Well, I made something the other day. See, I am thinking about you all the time because I, over the weekend, practiced making a vegetarian chili for the next time you come out.
Wow. How was it?
It was excellent. As a matter of fact, it was very, very good. I was kind of impressed. They called for, what was that stuff? I can't remember. Jennifer will have to tell us what it was called. It calls for a special ingredient, and I can't think what it was. Something like fake hamburger.
They called it crumbled.
Remember?
Soy protein. Is that what you?
Crumbled. So yeah, something like that. I didn't use that. I just put I put a squash in instead. Chopped up squash and put that in instead. And it was very good. I got to tell you, you're going to be very impressed that I'm looking after you for the next time you come out.
Well, you got until April to figure everything out. So I hope your recipe is good. You know what? It's funny you mentioned squash because a student of mine brought me a vegetarian lasagna, and instead of meat, they layered squash on there, and it was fantastic.
Well, apparently squash is a good substitute because it just, you know, it pretty much takes the flavor of whatever it's in. I'm not a big fan of squash by itself, but I don't mind putting it in stuff.
Like yeah. I agree.
Well, it's time for our daily winning. And the daily winning today goes out to our mystery caller who calls in every day to listen to the show. We think that this person is from North Carolina. And that's something that you can do is actually call in to 347 877-327-3238, and you can listen to the show right on your phone. Now, keep in mind, it does use your minutes. So if you have unlimited minutes or something like that, it's something that you can do every day as a way to listen to the show. And we do have people that do that, and we have had this mystery caller do it almost every day.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. Glenn, look at your chat while I go to talk to Jennifer, because we have got to discuss something, Jennifer. I need to talk to another horsewoman about this whole thing and see if I'm the most overdramatic one in the world or if I am joined by other women in the world.
Yeah, actually, I think she's taking a call right now, so you're not going to get much help from her.
I need a woman. Somebody call in that owns a horse, for crying out loud. I have to talk to a lady about this, Glenn. You're just not going to qualify because you're just not going to understand. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Actually, we have a caller on the line here, first thing. I don't know. We'll see if Jennifer is back here. Are you back, Jennifer?
I am.
Are we going to take that caller now or wait till Sarah comes on?
Well, that's completely up to you. Katie said she had a very interesting question to ask of Sarah about her adventure, hopefully her adventure in Mongolia, and she was perfectly happy to hang out and ask Sarah directly, or you guys
could ask it on her
behalf.
Katie, hold on, and we'll let's ask it to Sarah directly.
Well, why don't I just ask Katie my question, Katie and Jennifer my question, Glenn, while you hang up and call back in.
Yeah, go away, Glenn.
Okay. Well, then, Katie, welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. I have to ask you a question, though, because, first of all, do you own a horse?
No, I currently don't have a horse.
But have you had them before or ever leased one or ridden one or anything like that?
Oh, sure. I've ridden them. I mostly ride other people's horses. It's cheaper that way.
that's fantastic. So, Jennifer and Katie, I want to ask you, if you saw your horse out in the field, okay? Now, I rode my horse yesterday in the mountains, and it was pretty rocky, and, a little bit rockier than I anticipated. You can see the pictures of me riding in, like, 80-degree weather on Facebook, which apparently a lot of people did, and they hate me for it. But so I go to get my horse last night and go to ride him, and I put he's standing on the pasture. He usually comes in when I call him, but he's standing out in the pasture, and I go to put the halter on him and ask him to walk forward, and oh my gosh, the horse cannot walk. His back leg, he is completely non-weight bearing, meaning he will not put any weight on this back leg at all. What is the first thing that you would think when you saw that?
Abscess.
There you go.
Oh, thank God. I was like, oh, my God, he broke his leg. I'm sorry.
Aww.
If you see your horse not walking at all, and you just, I would think, oh, my God, he broke his leg. And that is what I did. But then the calmer, more intelligent me took over and said, you know what? He probably stepped on a stone, and that has bruised, and it's going to abscess. And so it's going to be, going to be okay in the end. So I did pack him. He's standing in the stall right now. He's got Ixtamal all packed up in his hoof, duct tape, everywhere. Just for good measure, I bandaged up and down both back legs. He looks like the Stay Puft. He looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man right now. If I could bubble wrap him, I would. I just wanted to make sure I was not the only one that would be overdramatic and overreact. But apparently I am, since you both said abscess.
Well,
that's
it's
awesome.
It's always worrisome for sure. But, yeah, that's the first thing I would think of, and just get hoof testers out or call Farrier.
I did. But she lives far away, and she can't come till tomorrow. So, in the meanwhile, he will be bubble-wrapped, and his leg will be soaked constantly, I think maybe at least 3 times today. That's the blessing of having him in your backyard, is I'll just go out and soak him, come back in, do it again. He's going to be so sick of me, it's not even funny.
Because are going to soak that foot so much.
I know, but that's okay. He's my baby, but I totally freaked out, and I'm just glad that there are two cooler heads prevailing here on the show. Katie and Jennifer. Abscess. Thank you.
Stick with the whole abscess theory. I think that's a good one.
All right, Katie, well, thank you for your advice. We will put you back on hold so you can wait for Sarah to call in, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks, Jamie.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, Katie's back on hold again. And then, Glenn, are you here?
I am here. I'm here.
There you are.
Do I sound any better?
Yes, okay. It sounds better. Thank you very much. We had to get rid of you for a minute. I had to kick you off here. You were crackling.
Well, I thought it was you, actually. I heard you crackling. I thought it was you, and actually it was me. Hey, we have a couple of announcements that we have to make here coming up. Some fun things on the horizon. We can officially announce now that we are going to be doing the Horses in the Morning show every morning, even over the weekend, at the Rolex International 3-day event here at the Kentucky Horse Park. So we're going to be going out live every morning doing our live morning show at Rolex. And I know you're excited about that because you come to Rolex every year and now you actually get the broadcast from there.
Woohoo! It's like a dream come true. Going to Rolex. I've been going to Rolex. For those who don't know, Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, it takes place usually the third, but this weekend, this time it's the fourth weekend in April. And it is like 4 to 5 days of the toughest top eventing competitors all getting together and competing for a large prize money. It changes every year. And it is the stuff you will see these horses doing, you will think that there's no way that a horse should be doing this kind of thing. But they're that talented and that amazing that they get out there and jump these jumps and go through these different obstacles. It's amazing. Plus, the shopping and the trade fair is phenomenal. So, ladies, if you have nothing to do that weekend, just go to rk3de.org. That's their website, Rolex Kentucky 3-Day Event. rk3de.org. Go check it out because it is the most fun you will have. It's like it's all at the Kentucky Horse Park. You can, you know, get your ticket and go tour the horse park, then come up and watch some dressage, some cross country on Saturday. The show jumping is phenomenal. It is just the best time, and I cannot believe that we are going to broadcast from there. And, you know, if you're out there and where you see us, come by and visit us. We'll put you on the air. We'll talk to you about your experience there at the horse park. I'm so excited. I can't stop talking. Go ahead, Glenn.
I know. And the nice part is we're going to be broadcasting, I think, is the way it looks now, is we're going to be broadcasting from the trade fair area at the old indoor there. We're going to have a booth. So people will be able to come by and watch us do our show. We'll have, obviously, some big name guests. We're going to be doing the fun stuff in the morning, talking about the food and the, you know, the people, and interviewing some of the people that are around the competition, and we'll just be having a good time with that. And then Chris, at the end of the day, is going to do the eventing radio show live to wrap up the competition at the end of each day, and you'll be able to watch her do her show as well. So we're going to have bookend coverage at the beginning of the day and the end of every day live. And it'll be call-in, so people will be able to call in and ask questions. So that's just going to be kind of neat. It's the first time it's been done from Rolex, and we're glad to be the ones bringing it to you.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be there. And the cool thing is you can shop while you're on the way to come visit us and the 175 merchants that they have there. I mean, every Eco Gold's going to be there, Boots. Blankets, whatever you need, every single tack shop goes to this thing. So it's fantastic shopping. It's fantastic horses. You get to come out and hang out with us. And, you know, there's really nothing in it for us by telling you to come. It's just a fantastic weekend. I've been doing it since I was 9 years old. My dad used to take, this is like the father-daughter trip every year, Glenn, was to head up to Rolex. So I just continue the tradition now with the Horse Radio Network.
Well, your father's welcome to come along and help us out. We can give him a dial or two to turn if he wants to come over.
Oh, that'd be great, actually, if my dad would come. Dad, plan on it, because when Dad comes, the trade fair becomes a little more affordable for me. I say, Daddy, can I have this?
In that case, all four parents plan on coming. That's all for you guys.
Everybody's
out here.
Welcome.
Everybody's welcome. Come on down.
And
I like
grandparents. I got to figure it out. But it'll be so much fun, and I'm looking forward to broadcasting live with you guys again. So what other announcement did you have, Glenn?
Well, that a couple weeks after that, which, by the way, Rolex is at the end of April. It's like the last weekend of April. So two weeks after that, we have been invited, thanks to the help of Raphael and Ivory Powell, we haven't been invited to go down and do the morning show live from Graceland, Elvis's house. So we are very excited about that. We're working out the final arrangements now, but we'll be down there in Memphis at Graceland. And what a lot of people don't realize is Elvis had horses, and they were a big part of his life, and they still have horses at Graceland. So we're going to be down at Graceland recording live, and Raphael is going to join us. And it should be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about the horses at Graceland and about Elvis and the whole thing. I just think it's so cool. Jennifer and I have never been to Graceland, so that's fun for us to begin with.
Oh, that's fantastic. I cannot believe that you guys are going to be broadcasting live from Graceland. I say you guys because apparently the Horse Radio Network does not want to pay to fly me to Graceland. However, I'm jealous. And my dad just might join you for that one, too, because he's about the biggest Elvis fan in the world.
Well, what, whenever we get invited to Wayne Newton's place, you can take that one. Not that I don't think Wayne Newton's place would be awesome, but, you know.
I'm not going to Wayne Newton's by myself, okay? That's not going to happen. No thanks.
You can take one of the grand-toting mamas with you.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't you seen Vegas Vacation, okay? Oh, boy.
Well, then the other thing is we have to congratulate Boyd Martin for being named the Eventing Horseman of the Year by the Chronicle of the Horse.
Oh, not Best in Breeches. Okay.
No, it was actually got probably a little bit bigger title. The Chronicle gave him Eventing Horseman of the Year, and that's because Boyd finished 4th, 11th, and 12th in Rolex. He had three horses there. 10th at the World Equestrian Games, 7th at Poe over there in France, and 5th place in the FEI World Rankings. So I think he pretty much deserved that, and good job, Boyd.
I was going to say, I think he was pushed over the edge for the Eventing Horseman of the Year by the Chronicle because of his, you know, landslide win in Best in Breeches. I'm pretty
funny
sure.
Funny they don't mention that here.
No, they didn't put that on his list of accomplishments for the year, but I'm pretty sure he's proud of it. At least he's embarrassed of it, one or the other.
Well, the other thing that I just found in the news that I thought was interesting and just amazing is that right now going on, starting yesterday, is the World Ag Expo, World Agriculture Expo. It's in, is that Tulare or Tulare? Something like that. California.
Tulare.
And it's the largest ag expo in the world. And it's about 45 miles south of Fresno, California, down there north of Bakersfield. And it has 1,600 exhibitors. But get this, 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. 2.5 million square feet. That's huge.
It's huge. That's ridiculous. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that 45 miles south of Fresno, the reason this thing is so big is because it's the only thing around. I mean, there is nothing south of Fresno. We're 45 miles south of Fresno, so this is a really big deal for that part of town. That's crazy. What are they gonna have in an International Agri Center Expo?
Well, they have farm equipment and communications and technology and all that kind of stuff. And they have some animals there, and it's just like a big farm show kind of thing. But they get 100,000 people there that visit, and it sounds like it's just one big – if you're a tractor and big combine geek, this is probably the place to go because they're going to have it all. I mean, in 2.5 million square feet, you can fit a lot of tractors. And a lot of manure spreaders.
Absolutely. That's you got room to drive it around inside too. Test drive it.
I got to say that Susan Nelson just posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. By the way, you can go there and post during the show. She says, Graceland, I live near Memphis. Can I be there to watch? You'll love, love, love it. One of the horses that lives there is a rescue from my county that was seized in a cruelty case. And Susan, the answer is yes, we would love to have you come over and visit us while we're recording at Graceland. That would be a lot of fun. So we'll definitely be giving the dates out, and you can plan on being there. We'd love to meet you. Susan is one of our most prolific posters on, and also a baseball fan.
Yeah.
On there.
She's my girl.
So now we are actually waiting at this point for our first caller to call in, and that's Sarah Lee, our first guest. She's calling from Ireland, so I hope she's not having any trouble. We're hoping that she makes it through and that she got the time correct. We're also hoping that. If she's not on the beginning of the show, she might be on at the end of the show if she got the hour wrong.
Yeah, who knows?
So,
well, I can keep us entertained, Glenn, because I wanted to give you a little bit of an Uncle Mo update. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah, great.
Hold on. Zenyatta's got my microphone, headphone cord here. Zenyatta, let go. Thank you. Okay, sorry. A little while.
That would
right
be
now.
The puppy and not the horse.
Yeah, absolutely. That would definitely be the puppy. If the horse was in my kitchen, the police would be after me by now. But your Uncle Mo update is, I just want to let everybody know that they are currently doing their Derby picks right now. As far as, like, who they think is going to win and who they're ranking in the top 10 and all that kind of stuff. And by far, Uncle Mo is picked by every professional, handicapper guy or whatever, to win the Kentucky Derby. And I'm just trying to find it here so I can give you the name of the guy that did this one, because he's the guy that announces the Derby. But Uncle Mo, trained by Todd Pletcher, is number one to win the Derby. And I loved what they wrote about him, Glenn. It says, between all his exposure on Facebook and Twitter, an owner Mike Rapol's gregarious and infectious personality, they may have to change this year's sponsorship name, because, of course, it is Kentucky Derby presented by Yum Brands. It's this year's Kentucky Derby presented by Brands. Uncle Mo was on the work tab for the first time last week, breezing an easy 3 furlongs in under 40 seconds. So very good there. Then the number two pick to honor and serve is the son of Bernardini, which is Zenyatta's baby daddy. So we've got number three, Tapazar, number four, Dialed In, and number five, Stay Thirsty. So I just love the fact that they're already working on the Derby in May coming up, trying to get it all situated. So get their picks in.
And, of course, Uncle Mo is the horse that we're sort of following and going to be following all the way up to the Derby. He's going to be our pick. And just to get your blood flowing a little bit this morning, Jamie, take a listen to Uncle Mo in the 2010 Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Off. They are coming to the top of the lane and riveting reason, desperate to hold on, but Uncle Mo is breathing down his neck, and Uncle Mo is let loose, and look at him stride away. Uncle Mo, big leaping strides, he's opening up, boys on Tuscan over a second, but this is an overwhelming performance by Uncle Mo, the son of Indian Charlie. John Velasquez just got to point him in the right direction, takes a look back. Uncle Mo, superb in the juvenile.
There you
go. Fantastic. I love it. I love it. Hey, the other horse racing news, Glenn, and I know you guys didn't know this when I mentioned it earlier, they are now passing a constitutional amendment, or not passing it, they're filing it, that would allow horse racing in Georgia and gambling in Georgia. They never had that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, has this been something that's been brewing in the background for quite a while, or is it something that's relatively new in Georgia?
You know, as long as I can remember, I remember being a kid. That's where I grew up, it was Atlanta, and I remember people having bumper stickers. We want horse racing, just even as a kid. So we're talking, at least in my mind, it's been going on at least 25 years. Yeah, it's a Bible Belt state. I mean, they don't even sell beer. All the liquor stores are closed on Sundays. You can't even buy beer or in a restaurant until after 2 o'clock or something. I mean, they're very strict about all that. So I guess they're trying to find a way to make some more money. And it says, as Georgians across the state continue to struggle to find employment, the legislature must look for new ways to bring much-needed jobs to the state. Now, the last I got kind of involved in the politics end of it simply because the horse racing part of it, and then the no liquor sales was a huge, huge point of contention for so many of kind of the younger people in the Atlanta area, because they think it's ridiculous. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at as far as that goes. So no booze and no horse racing, and they're trying to change both. just get it all out there.
Hey, well, you know, I was surprised. I didn't know that there was any states left that didn't have racing at this point.
Yeah, no racing, no gambling, no nothing.
Well, they had. But the crazy thing about Georgia, you know, you talk about that. When we were driving down to Florida this last time, we counted like 55 billboards for adult bookstores and strip clubs and massage parlors. There were billboards every mile.
It's funny you mentioned that, because Atlanta is like one of the only places in the world where if you go to a strip club, not that I've been, I promise, at the strip club, the girls are completely naked. And that is not apparently the norm. So it's such a backward state. Crazy.
We can't have horse racing, but strip clubs every mile, that's okay.
Yeah, naked chicks every 20 feet are fine, but by God, don't race a horse or sell beer on Sunday.
Well, we have our guest on here, and she has called in. Sarah Lee is her name, and no, she is not the baker. She is not the baker girl. And we want to welcome Sarah Lee all the way from Ireland. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Hi from Ireland.
Well, it's so nice, and we're so glad that you were able to call in. Now, you tell us about this competition you're in and what it involves.
Oh, gosh, where do I start? It's called the Mongol Derby. Reputed to be the longest horse race in the world, 1,000 kilometers. I work in kilometers. I'm not sure about miles. I think somewhere over the 600-mile mark. And I entered to win a place on it.
Wow, that's cool. Now, let me ask you quick, Sarah, are you listening to the show on something?
No, I'm not. No, I turned everything off. It's probably a delay on the line or something.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of an echo. So now, you did a contest that was put on by Horse Hero, right?
That's right. Horse Hero are running a contest. I guess anybody anywhere in the world can enter to win a place on this race. Usually about 25 riders do the race, and they happen to be giving away one place to one lucky person. So I entered. I think it was in a fit of winter blues and only seeing the horses by torchlight and carrying wet rugs and hay and just going, oh, there's got to be more. So I made a home video and I entered.
Well, so your answer to winter blues is ride across the mountain. Yeah.
I know, it's a little bit crazy, but yeah, I just got, you know, just decided I would have another big adventure. I've had lots of adventures, and I just thought, oh, there's room for one more.
Yeah, let me just say that you read about the Mongol Derby. What on earth possessed you to want to actually ride in that?
I think it smacks of one of these great adventures, doesn't it? I mean, there isn't a lot of room on the planet for those anymore, and it's just wide open spaces and meeting one of those. I mean, the Mongolians are sort of the last true nomadic horse people on the planet, you know, and you don't meet that anymore. You don't meet those big open spaces anymore. And it looks so exciting. It looks tough. It looks like a real challenge. But, you know, it's something that I just decided, oh, why not, you know.
Yeah, 1,000 kilometers is a challenge.
It is. It's a big distance. Now, you've got to bear in mind, none of the horses are actually doing that. The average distance for the horse is about 40K. So it's kind of run a bit like an old Pony Express, where you change horses at horse stations. And so it's the rider that's doing the endurance, not really the horse, you know.
Okay.
That is amazing. That's amazing. Hey, we actually have somebody on the line that's got a question for you. So, Katie, go ahead and ask.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. I had a question. I work for Kentucky Performance Products, and I'm a bit of a nutrition nerd. And I was wondering if you had any idea what they are feeding the horses. You know, being a different country, I didn't know what kind of feed stuff they already feed, and I didn't know if you could provide any insight on that.
Well, I'm not wholly informed on what the horses in the race are going to be doing, but I guess at the moment they're living in herds and in their natural environment, so I guess they're subsiding on whatever they can over winter. And then in summer, they have summer grazing. It's run very much like an old nomadic lifestyle. I can't imagine that there's a lot like we have, you know, supplements and all the different feeds that we feed. But, I mean, if you look at pictures of the race and you look at those horses, they look fit for their environment. They look like tough, hardy little horses. And they all, I mean, I dithered about entering because there is some press about, you know, before the first race was run, people thought, oh, how can these small native horses cope with this? And when you look at the pictures and you look at the videos of the race, you think, God, these horses are tougher than you think, you know. They can do it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good luck, Sarah Lee. I'll go
thank
on Horse Hero and vote for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, you, Sarah Lee, you lived here in the United States, by the way. You must have gotten a lot of crap about your name while you were here.
I did. Yeah, you can try opening a bank account in America when your name is Sarah Lee. It's really tough. But I always get a smile, so it's nice. It's not like having a terrible name. I always get a laugh and a smile. So, you know, it's good. It's good. People are always happy to see me, you know.
Well, you know what? You sound so sweet, so it sort of fits.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you are one tough cookie. Tell us about some of the adventures. You're 31 years old. You said that in your video.
Yes, thank you.
And you have done more in a life. You make Jamie and I feel like we're the worst couch potatoes in the world.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Tell us about some of the adventures you've been on. You've had an incredible life.
Yeah, I've been all over. I think I started out as one of those kids. I never had the pony, so I always had to clean windows and work for rides and just turn up on people's doors and clean out stables just to get the ride, you know, and that sort of progresses. That becomes a real obsession, you know, you just do bigger and better things just to get that ride. And so I traveled and I worked in stables and barns and ranches all over the world. So I sort of taught myself on horseback just from all sorts of styles and all sorts of people taught me, you know. It's a good way of learning, I mean, just from anywhere to Africa, to Australia, it was a fun way of learning different tack and different styles. And, you know, horses are so different everywhere you go, but so the same as well. You know, they all still have that same kind of character about them everywhere you go.
Well, I'm looking at your video here, and you're being a little, what's the word, modest. Because here's you with the Egypt pyramids and hiking to the top of a mountain in the snow. What are some of the places that you have been?
God, where have I been? I've been to the Himalayas in Nepal. I've worked in a ranch in northern Canada. That was probably one of the tough ones. I've worked in the center of Australia on sheep farms. I've worked in New Zealand on remote farms. Where haven't I been? I don't know. I've been all over Europe on horseback, from Spain to Bulgaria, just anywhere the wind blows me, really, I guess.
So you just work at these individual places and just travel in between?
Yeah, it's funny. Once you sort of start, everybody knows somebody further down the line that's looking for someone who can ride. You know, you'd be amazed. You know, there's a network of people who know other people. And yeah, I mean, everybody, once you can ride and you can show that you can, you know, stick the day from sunup to sundown and do your work, people want to look after you, you know, it's amazing.
Now, riding isn't the only thing. Apparently, you do a lot of hiking.
I do. If I can't find a horse, I'll walk on my own 2 feet.
Tell us about the thing you did. It was like the longest hike or something over in Europe you talked about in your video.
Yeah, it's called the GR20. It's it's amazing. I'd recommend it for anyone. It's a beautiful hike. It's real rough terrain on the island of Corsica, and the whole island is just one little mountain range, and it's sort of 15 days with all your food and water on your back. And it's a rough and tough hike, but it's beautiful, really, really beautiful.
You have had some incredible adventures.
Yeah. Hoping to add more to the list.
Apparently, you want to do a 1,000-kilometer race.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I've read so much. You don't put your name down, I think. You don't enter into this unless your heart's in it, you know? And I've read everything I could about it, and it just looks amazing. You know, really tough, but incredible.
Now, how can we help you win this thing?
Well, if you go to horsehero.com, you can watch all the finalist video entries there, and I can't bully you into voting for me, but I would really like if people did. My video is pretty obvious. It's got my name, Sara Lee, on it, and I'm there in a red coat on a gray horse, who's my own horse, a lovely gray horse called Harry.
Harry.
I love it.
All right, when is the Derby?
The Derby doesn't happen until August, so plenty of time to get rock hard fit, hopefully. And the voting stops this weekend to see who'll get that place. And the Derby kicks off in the middle of August.
Now, is it straight through? Do they ride the 1,000 kilometers straight through, or do you sleep or what?
I think the way it's done, when it was first run, you were told to stop at nighttime just for your own safety. And because the horses are pretty wily and they know their home terrain, they'll head home, you know, if you try and get off. And I imagine our silly Western attempts at hobbling these horses would be a bit laughable in the horses' point of view. So they'll just head home. So what you're advised to do is either camp out with like a local nomadic family, or get together in a little group and organize something. They do advise you to do that and not keep going through the night. But people have done it the last two races. People have tried it. So it is possible.
So what's your strategy?
Yeah.
Oh, golly, I don't know. I think I would play it horse by horse, to be honest. You can't think, I'll do this and then get a horse that's really not into that. You know, you got to play it as the horses come. And I imagine you can get any kind of character, you know, from the idle kind of guys to the little devils, you know. So I think you got to play it that way, whatever comes along.
I love it.
Well, now I got to ask a question here. We got Valentine's Day coming up on Monday. Boy, you don't have much time for a romance riding around the world like you do.
I've got one of those non-horsey other hops in my life. He's sort of into the climbing side of things. That's how we met. And horses to him are completely new. So it's fun, actually, trying to teach someone how to put on a head collar and that a horse does this and not what you'd expect him to do that. And that's fun, too. He's actually coming along really well.
Sounds like you're training him, you're training him for a ride.
Yeah, maybe. I've tried. It hasn't worked out the first two times. I think I'm going to have to find some third party to do the teaching. You know, they say you never teach someone you know.
Take it from this horse husband. It's never good to take lessons from your spouse or your girlfriend.
Yeah, it looks like a disaster. I did attempt once, and I thought, nope, now I'm going to have to find a friend to teach him.
Well, Sara Lee, the sweetest Sara Lee from Ireland, we wish you the best of luck. If you when can people vote up till?
They can vote up till Saturday, I think. I'm not 100%, but I think it closes on Saturday.
All right, so get your votes in. You have to sign up for a free account, Horse Hero, which you should have anyway. It's the best video site on the Internet. And then vote for Sara. We'll post a link on our Facebook page as well. We want you to win this, and then we'll be in touch with you in your preparation up to the race and talk to you after the race.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on. That was really sweet of you to ask me to come on. Thanks a million.
Well, bye, Sara. Good luck.
Bye.
Sorry about the echo there, everybody, but she was calling from Ireland, and that's pretty amazing in itself. So,
and it's gone now that she's gone. So I think what a fascinating woman. And what we didn't even talk to her about is I'm on horsehero.com, and she's a geologist on top of all of this. So the whole I ride around and work for people riding, whatever, she's a geologist too. I mean, what an amazing woman.
Yes, she was. And I hope she wins it. I really want to follow her. And wouldn't that be cool to follow her in her training and then, get her on once a month and then talk to her right before and right after the race? That would be so cool.
That absolutely is. And she's up against some tough competition. She actually is up against this guy named Justin, and he's the guy that won last year. So he's trying to get back in by winning this contest, and apparently he's a farrier and an endurance horse racer, and he's a Marine, he's a martial artist, he's a marathon runner, a triathlete, he's completed tours of duty in Afghanistan. This guy is her competition, so Sarah's really going to need your help. Although I think we should talk to Justin, too. That's pretty interesting.
You are a softie for those military guys.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, but the other one is Carrie Ann, who's doing this. I mean, these people are fascinating. She's a decorated endurance rider, and she's one of the Great Britain's shortlisted at 19. So phenomenal people. I want to go. I want to go watch. I don't want to ride in that, though.
Katie just wrote, who was on the phone with us earlier, just wrote on Facebook that the voting for Sarah Lee is open until February the 12th. So you only have a couple days to get in there and vote for her. Let's show her what the Horse Radio Network Army can do to get her voted in there and get her off to Mongolia. It sounds like one of the very few adventures she hasn't done on horseback. Her and Darley ought to get together from Equitrekking because they've both done some incredible things.
I bet they traveled. They probably know each other. They've probably seen each other out on the trail. Hey, before we get to our next guest, Glenn, or our song, I got to tell you about Back on Track. They're our sponsor today. And getting to meet Bo and the Back on Track people this past 2 weekends ago in Philadelphia, it was amazing because I got to kind of get hands-on with the equipment that they use, and they sponsor every big rider. So all the big riders use them. And they have products that can offer, you know, steps towards an improved lifestyle and mobility in horses. And what I mean by that is their stuff works. I mean, this is proven. They have blankets that have, you know, ceramic in them that increase blood flow to the legs, and they have leg wraps. You don't even need to poultice. They have some really fascinating stuff, and they've done a lot of studies on Back on Track products. They've been a mainstay in European therapeutic therapies for many years, and they're used by top athletes and the dressage, eventing, show jumpers worldwide, even endurance riders. So everybody uses Back on Track. So check them out at backontrack.com.
Thank you to Bo over there at Back on Track. And today's song, and we're going to be coming back after the song with our horse health report with Christy. We're going to be talking about older horses today. And Jamie, I know you have an older horse,
so I think this will be
a good topic for you today. And then after that, we have Angela from Horse Girl TV is going to be on with us talking about what's up over there at her studio. That's there. Her studio actually has cameras. Ours just has microphones. So she's going to be talking about what's up over there. So we're going to get to that right after the song. I picked this song in honor of Sarah Lee because it's called Spirit Horse, and it's by Marianne Kennedy. And it just kind of reminded me of the horses, the Mongolian ponies that are, really, they are ponies, that she's going to be riding over there for the race. See, I'm thinking positive here. I've got her already winning it. So it's called Spirit Horse by Marianne Kennedy. And, of course, you can buy all of Marianne Kennedy's music at MarianneKennedy.com.
Wow, what a cool song. That's Marianne Kennedy, Spirit Horse. You can find all her music at MarianneKennedy.com. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek, and we are brought to you today by Back on Track. And it's now time for our weekly horse health report. And usually, Glenn is unable to have lunch because we get into something gross and bloody and nasty, and which those of us women on the show love, but the man, of course, gets all squeamish. But I don't think we're going to get too into that today, guys. I'd like to welcome Christy West and Dr. Jones from Florida. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so excited about the topic today because I'm in the midst of it, and I know so many of our listeners have this same situation where we have the older horse, and the older horse needs just as much love, if not more. I mean, my 25-year-old plus horse eats more than the rest of mine put together. So I totally understand the need to discuss nutrition and dentistry and all that stuff. So get started, guys. What are we going to talk about first?
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know, one, first of all, you're not alone. We did a poll of our readers a little while back asking if they cared for an older horse, which in that case we defined it as a horse more than 15 years old, and more than 93% of our audience takes care of an older horse with that definition. And nutrition, of course, is one of the biggest concerns. And Erin, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about just what are the challenges in feeding an older horse.
Well, again, going back through just nutrition, the first part of digestion is chewing, which we address that with the dentistry. Is my volume okay, by the way?
Yeah.
Sound good?
Fantastic. Okay. Is because I'm not used to doing it from the cell phone, so I apologize. But it's the chewing. So the grain and the hay and cubes and grass and whatever else you feed your horse starts with chewing. So if the teeth are not properly taken care of and equilibrated, you're going to have problems right off the bat with digestion. Then the next part is the stomach, and then the small intestine and the large intestine. And both of those have ways of digesting that are particular for the horse, different from the humans. They tend to decrease in their ability. The lining gets thick and things like that. So they have now made nutrition products in grains made for senior horses called senior feeds that are able to digest very rapidly and easily in the small intestine and large intestine without being chewed well, but it doesn't mean that you can ignore your dentistry side of it, and that if you had problems with absorption of the large intestine or the small intestine of nutrients, they kind of compensate for it by the way the feeds are made. So those are three areas that the horse seems to have some issues in uptake is the chewing part, the small intestine, and then the large intestine and their functions.
Very good. And we talked a little bit about avoiding rapid feed changes in these horses.
And that's, of course, across the board for every horse. They do not do well with changing over the feeds from a sweet feed to a senior feed. You still have to do your slow progression of changing them over. You can't do a quick change of them. You'll even find some of these rescue horses, too, that they recommend putting them on a senior feed just because they've had such dietary upsets in their lifestyle that they've led, either not being fed appropriately, being fed the wrong feeds or the wrong products, that they put them on the senior feed just to help kind of get the bacteria flora working together again and going down the right road of proper absorption of the nutrients that are needed.
All right. And, Jamie, just out of curiosity, you said William eats more than all your other horses put together. What do you feed that sucker?
All right. Well, let's see here. He came to me with a he was basically skin and bones. I mean, you could see his vertebrae on top of his back and sway back and a belly full of sand, which is a big problem out here in Arizona. And so we had to create a dietary program for him that would incorporate a lot more fiber to try to kind of help flush that sand out. So he gets a psyllium product twice a day. With psyllium, of course, you have to put it in grain to make them eat it. So he gets the senior feed morning and evening with the psyllium. He also gets two flakes of the alfalfa and another flake each day of the grass hay as well. My other horses get like a handful of strategy in the evening. I mean, you just like take your hand, put some feed in your hand, and just blow. And that's what the other horses eat. So I
well,
don't
see,
think I'm
that all makes sense in the dietary challenges we have with the aged horse is that they do need a bit more in order to uptake the proper nutrients. Now, granted, it doesn't mean that you feed, you know, a scoop of sweet feed to your kids, and so just by equation, definition, mathematics, you're going to do double that for an aged horse. I always say do what's recommended on the side of the bag, give it 21 to 30 days, and if you don't see a good change, then adjust from there.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. I've heard this before, Dr. Jones, is that you would feed a horse 3% of their ideal body weight. Is that true? And maybe not so much for an older horse, huh?
Yeah, it's 2 to 5%, so 3 is in the center.
Okay.
2 to 5% of their body weight. And you really should be making up a lot of it in roughage. And so the roughage amount should be helping you out there. And that's one thing people don't do is weigh their feeds. You can actually get a scale and, weigh their hay and get a scale and weigh it. That really helps out a lot. But they're saying for the, you know, older, mature, idle, less ridden, 2% body weight for feed and 2% for their hay intake or their forage intake of their body weight.
Okay, interesting, because, he works, actually. He gets ridden 3 or 4 days a week by kids. I think it just helps him mentally
and
physically.
Bump it to 3. Yeah, bump it to 3 if you're actually using them, which is beautiful. Probably rolls into what else we want to talk about, Christy, which is my biggest thing. I've always owned aged horses in my lifetime. I've had a couple young horses, but the aged by far take good care of me as a woman who's aging as well. But finding a good suit, meaning an aged horse with a very young kid learning to ride, an aged horse with maybe a baby boomer like myself that takes care of me, the more those horses are used and work, the better they feel. It's the same thing that they tell aged people is that if they go walk the mall, their first lap around the mall is going to hurt like the dickens because the arthritis is really painful. But then after that, everything kicks in and they start to feel better on their second and their third lap.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jones,
yeah.
It's funny, Christy, when you said about 15 years old, I was laughing because I think most of the ponies I've owned, I bought them older than that.
right.
You know, I drove the best pony I ever had. We drove her till she was almost 35, and she was still pulling that cart like she was 10. I mean, and she loved to be in the harness. She just loved it. You could tell. You know, she just loved doing that.
Well, you know, ponies live forever, number one. Number two, the bigger ones can live forever, too. I was actually going to throw a question at you guys. Do you have any idea, and don't look it up, that's cheating, do you have any idea what the mileage record is for a horse?
I was going to ask Dr. Jones what's the oldest horse she's ever seen, and then that would give me time to look up your answer.
No.
Oh, and I think we've had that horse's owner on the show. She's an endurance horse. Is
you
it
might
gray?
Have.
Gray.
Yes.
Yes,
and I don't
you're right.
remember what his mile was.
Oh.
It was insane.
Any idea? You get guess. Come on, it'll be fun.
Oh, I think she was like 42 or something, wasn't she?
Well, the horse's lifetime mileage record was actually 20,784 in competition, and the horse was Elmer Bandit, and
oh, that's
he
right.
was he finished his last competitive ride at age 37 with a ride that was nearly 29 miles long,
right.
And I just. There's so many good stories like that. I mean, this horse competed until less than 6 months before he was euthanized. And as Aaron was saying, I mean, these horses they go way later than they used to, and they can be very serviceable. And I think one of the points that Aaron wanted to make is that if they're stocking up a little bit in a stall, or you're having some lameness problems or whatever, you know, don't give up on them, because there are a lot of things that people like Aaron can do to help these horses, and they can still have great lives, as we've talked
Amen,
about.
Amen, sister. Preach it.
Well, you know, my thing that I cringe about the most is I'll get out there and I'll see a skinny horse, and they have other horses there that are in good body condition or good flesh, and the farm manager or the owner will say, oh, that horse is just old. I just can't tell you how much that grates me, because do you say that about your parents? Oh, they're just old. I mean, granted, we probably do it in joke. But you try to do something to make that horse comfortable, even if it means doing the oral glucosamines, which we don't have a lot of data on, a lot of those, some of them we do, but even doing an over-the-counter glucosamine just to help out their arthritis from getting around, by all means, try that. There's plenty of good aged horses out there that could take you on a good trail ride or could even show.
Now, what do you think, Dr. Jones, sorry, Glenn, about keeping a horse like that, that's an aged horse, would you recommend something to just help with that arthritis a little bit more than you know, doing the glucosamine, like aspirin a day or some Bute every day?
No, the Bute a day is going to be very, very tough on their intestinal tract. We've seen gastric ulcers, severe gastric ulcers with Bute a day. Dorsal colon ulcers may be occurring from the Bute. We don't have 100% knowledge of that because we can't tap into the dorsal colon all the time like we can the gastric area because of the gastroscope. What I tell people is there are some good homeopathic products out there that they can try, and those homeopathic products are anti-inflammatories you find in the field, willow root, devil's claw, that kind of thing. You can certainly try those first if you want to try to go for an anti-inflammatory. The other products, though, that I'm very big fan of are Adequan, Legend that's given IV. Those are for the joints, the Adequan for the joint health, and then the Legend as an HA that you can give IV for the joint health. If you find out if it's a particular joint that is arthritic, you can actually inject steroid in there, just like everybody gets cortisone shots in their elbows, their shoulders, their knees as they get older. Same thing. You can still do that to an aged horse and not cause any problems.
Okay. Now. Let me jump in here because the reason I was asking about aspirin a day or Bute a day, because that stuff is cheap. I have a 25-year-old horse that eats more than all my other horses put together, and now we've got him on a Legend and Adequan program that we're gonna, you're recommending, and that is, oh my gosh, expensive. Now my warm blood is on that stuff. However, my 25-year-old horse doesn't need, $80 Adequan shot a month. So what can you recommend, that's a little bit more affordable for to just keep these older horses a little more comfortable?
I appreciate the economy. I so appreciate what you're doing with being economical on it. And my next step would be, and I know you're going to balk because these are going to be a little pricier, but they've had research behind them, is the oral nutraceuticals that have been researched are the ones that have the ASU behind the name. There's two of them I know of off the top of my head. One of them is Cosequin ASU. The other one is a Platinum Performance ASU. I apologize if there's other ones out there on the market, but those are two companies that make an oral nutraceutical that has been tested to show that it helps almost as good as Legend and Adequan for the maintenance of the joint health of the horse. I've got my aged horses on either one of those products. They seem to be doing well and seem to still be ridden. That's one thing. Back to your aspirin, that's really cheap. The only thing is aspirin's half-life in a horse is less than 30 minutes, so you're not getting any bang for your buck by giving aspirin to a horse because it doesn't last in the system at all.
Ah, didn't know that.
Well, Jamie, I got to say that Jennifer takes Cosequin ASU. Now, she's not an aged horse. I want to clarify that because I got in so much trouble last week. But she does take it because we can say that she's an older eventer who has had all the broken bones and injuries. And, you know, she wore a knee brace since the time we met, probably 20 years ago, started taking Cosequin ASU, 2 years ago, Jennifer?
Uh-huh.
And hasn't worn a knee brace since. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, the ASU side of it has been researched in Europe and here in the United States. I'm not trying to promote Cosequin or Platinum Forms one over the other. It's the ASU part of the equation that seems to have had great research following it to say that it's helping with the joint health. And a lot of people are in the human world in Europe, they're seeing some great results with it. So that's why I'm promoting that. Yeah, they're going to be more expensive than your regular, Biflex that I see the commercials for humans, those kind of osteoflex type things that you can get over the counter at your feed stores. They are not regulated, so they can put whatever products they want in there because nobody's coming around checking their ingredients. So be very careful. If you're not seeing a result after 30 to 60 days, don't do it anymore. Find a different one that might be more reasonable in your price range or step up to a little more expensive one. Back to your aspirin. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, so you should see results pretty quick with these products, huh?
Well, they say that oral nutraceuticals take at least 21 to 30 days to get into the system to work, which is why you do an upper loading dose, which is like a couple scoops. So you go through your first bucket fairly quickly. Then it ends up second and third buckets last longer because then you would go down to a maintenance dose. So somewhere between 30 and 60 days, I tell people if you're not seeing results, change.
Okay. Okay.
And then back to your aspirin, yes, it's only 30 minutes. That's all it's good for in the horse's system. On average, and the Bute has too many side effects. There is a new product out called Equiox that doesn't have as much side effects for gastric ulcers, but it is the only product on the market that's what we call a COX-2 inhibitor, so you're going to pay the price because they've got the corner of the market. Again, you can go back to your Devil's Claw and your other anti-inflammatories if you're not showing, because some of those are not allowed in the show circuit because they're good anti-inflammatories. To feed to your horse, and those are your homeopathic nutraceuticals. One of them I know off the top of my head is Zero-Bute. It's called Zero-Bute because it has no bute in it, but it has products in it that seem to help with the inflammation for the horse.
Fantastic. Okay, cool. I didn't know about that. See, there you go.
That's why we're
here. Yeah, I mean, each horse is going to be different on how they absorb and use these nutrients. And, again, we're going into the aged horse digestion issues. Their nutritional needs are different. Their uptake's different. If you want to add a probiotic to an aged horse's feed, the complete feeds have them in there. If you want to add that to your horse's diet, adding it to it is not anything bad except for to your pocketbook, and it may help with more uptake of some of these nutraceuticals you're giving or the actual feed you're giving or the hay you're giving, because they are having some problems with their bacterial flora and digestion and absorption.
All right.
Well, and that brings me to something I want to make sure that we mention, too, is not just the feeds, but the dentistry aspect of things. And Erin is going to be online with us, as well as Dr. DeLore, who you might remember from a few weeks ago, to do a one-hour live chat session on dental care in horses on February 24th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So don't
and where will that be? How do they find it?
Online at thehorse.com. If you go to thehorse.com, it'll be featured under selected resources. I'll be adding that to the website today so people can sign up.
Cool.
One last thing, if you guys don't mind, I want to make sure I get this out before we have to close, and I know we're probably getting close to closing, is annual exams. It's not very common that horses are done with annual exams like your dogs and cats are done. But it would be nice to try to start implementing that on your horses in general, especially aged horses. And those horses, it'd be nice to do it twice a year because certain things occur to horses in two different times of years. So you have heavy horses at certain times of year. You may not catch if you check them only once a year in the middle of winter, and or down here in Florida in the middle of winter, or in summertime up north, you may not see that they're starting with heavy problems. Which sometimes can come with an age-related problem with scar tissue in the lungs. The other thing would be your most common cushing problem in a horse, aged horse. You may not see that because they have long hair in the wintertime, but do they keep that long hair in the summertime? And that's a classic sign of Cushing's. And that would be good to have the veterinarian at least evaluate and discuss that with you. Their immune system is going to get a little less and less accurate or on working well for them because they're aging. And just like when we have outbreaks, they always say the aged person and the young child are going to be prone to the swine flu and whatever, things like that. Same with horses. The aged horse and the young horse are going to be more prone to catching our diseases. So you may have to up your vaccine schedule, talk to your veterinarian about it. Deworming fecals is what we're recommending now. You want to really hit them with checking, make sure that they're able to fight off those worms. That might be another reason why they're not gaining weight. It might not just be a lack of absorption or wrong diet or teeth. They may be loaded with worms, and that would be something you'd have to address. So, and then their hoof care is not any more involved than your regular horse's hoof care, but they may frequently come up with abscesses if they're becoming metabolically challenged. Stuff like that. So there's a lot that you still need to address with an aged horse. You think, oh, my goodness, this is just more work. It really isn't. You just want to just make sure they're taken care of like your regular horses. But, you know, maybe one extra step is an exam.
I laugh a little bit about the hoof care because we have what we call our old horse, Will, William, is in what we call his orthopedics. get special shoes. He just couldn't walk, and he was did we put shoes on? He tried that. So now he's got his orthopedic shoes, which are the horseshoe. Underneath that is a pad, and then underneath that is the pour-in, squeeze-in purple gel to shock absorb.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my students are like, I want to learn how to pick clothes. And I'm like, you can't learn on him because you can't get through to it. It's just like a pad. And they're like, what's this purple stuff? I'm like, that's his orthopedics, girls.
I love it.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
Love it.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Jones, I'm coming back to my question. What was the oldest horse you've ever seen in your practice?
I've had quite a few. I'm very much passionate, as you can tell. I'm very passionate about the aged horse and trying to get people to have aged horses, as part of their pet or their barn of stable horses, because they just can return so much love and so much pleasure. It's amazing. But I'll have to say I had two of them that come to mind right off the bat. One was a standard bred, one was a quarter horse, and I just lost the quarter horse recently, and he was, at the time that I lost him, 35 years old, and he had a full set of teeth, looked just like an 18-year-old set of teeth. I mean, full set, was doing absolutely fantastic. The owner had quit riding him, but he had a pasture to himself and was 100% loved. And that owner was devastated as much as I was when we had to put him down. He just got down and couldn't get up. And that would be arthritic related. The standard bred had the same issue but had a rare bone disease, which you don't see very much in horses. Again, full set of teeth, looked like an 18-year-old's teeth. And I think that really helps out with the horses. As Dr. DeLore said, is maintaining teeth during their young and middle ages will allow them to continue to have good set of teeth into the, you know, older ages. It's not a guarantee, but it certainly does help with the program. And then my horse, I lost when he was 29, and that was over 20 years ago, before we even had senior feeds and good dental education. So,
well, we had a couple of ponies that lived into their late 30s, early 40s. So, you know, the ponies are the ones that seem to be able to go forever. And that's because they're so obstinate to begin with, I think, part of it. But
right.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Dr. Jones. We appreciate you being on today. Christy, I wanted to mention that, of course, you can find all of the horse health stuff at thehorse.com. And also, we want to put a plug in to vote for both thehorse.com and Horses in the Morning for the social media awards. There's still time to do that. We voted for you guys. So anything else you wanted to add to that, Christy?
No, we voted for you, too. And just back on the older horse care, we do have a whole category of articles and on older horse care at thehorse.com. So if you want to learn more, definitely hit us up there.
All right. Very good. Bye, guys. We'll look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Thank you. Thanks for the advice.
Well, there you go. You also learned a little bit about hoof care there for the one that came up, Lane, yesterday that you got overly excited about because you're emotional.
Yeah. When you see that, Glenn, you cannot think my horse broke his leg. And you know what's funny is when I worked at the vet clinic, people would call the clinic and they're like, oh, my God, my horse broke his leg. We're like, okay, we're on our way. We're on our way. We hang up and go, yeah, he's got an abscess. That's exactly what we thought, and I was totally that girl yesterday. I was like, oh my God,
it's funny. You're completely different when it's your own, aren't you? It's completely
Gosh, yeah.
And I wanted to ask you too, you went to the vet yesterday, I think, with the puppies. How did that go? That's always an interesting experience with puppies for the first time.
Oh my gosh, my poor little babies had to go get shots and dewormed yesterday. And, you know, they look so different that people were like, what kind of dog is this? So we went in there, and bless their little hearts, they were actually really good. But trying to carry, and we weighed them, and they are growing so fast, Glenn. The boy Boomer weighed 18 pounds, and Zenyatta weighed 16 pounds. And I have one in each arm. I'm actually sore. Sore today from holding them for so long. I was like trying to get in the door with a 20-pound puppy in each arm. But they were very brave. They didn't squeal at all when they got their little shot. However, the second I put Boomer down on the floor, because they take their little temperature, you know, and I put him down on the floor and he just pooped everywhere.
Everywhere
in the bed. It was just like, I was like, I'm so sorry. They were like, no, that happens when we take their temperature a lot of times when they're puppies. So I was like, sorry about that. But they were really good. They didn't squeal at all. And she did say, okay, you're going to take them home tonight, and just to let you know, they're going to be extra tired and maybe a little sore because they got their shots. What a freaking lie that was. These puppies were wilder than they have ever been in the evening. And I was like, yeah, let's not get them more shots at all. They're destroying everything.
It juiced them up.
It did juice them up, I swear. So they're doing fine now, and they're finally went to sleep right now. So let's hurry this show up because they're going to wake up here in a minute and be demons.
Well, let's go to our next guest. We have on here in her regular visit, a friend of ours, Angela Walkup, and she is, of course, Horse Girl TV. Good morning, Angela.
Morning, Glenn. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. And we were just talking about older horses and younger puppies. We've been covering the spectrum today.
I was actually catching a bit of the show.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's so much fun to just be able to sit around and chat about horses. And, you know, because we have an hour and a half, we can spend time on it. We don't have to rush. You know, it's kind of cool. You unfortunately that's one problem with video is it's so short. That you have to edit it down and get it so short, you don't have time to just sit and chat.
See, and we could do a half hour. We actually, a lot of the stuff we've shot in the last 6 months, we've shot 30, 45 minutes of material, and there's so much of the conversation that's amazing. And it's just how you turn a 30-minute conversation that has just full of really awesome content into 5 minutes and under.
Ooh, that would be tough for us, wouldn't it, Jamie?
That would be impossible. Impossible.
I do have a bit of the gift of gab, not as good as you guys, but, 30 minutes is that's a little bit long for video these days until bandwidth increases.
Well, tell us,
you've
had a show just came out recently, and I'm sure that there's some things to share from that.
Yeah, going on, let's see, this month we had two. We're kind of trying to focus this year a lot of the stuff on getting some questions, because we get tons of questions from fans answered about different things around the stable, and a lot of the stuff that's been coming in lately, stable management. So this past month we did one on stable bedding as well as on automated portable watering solutions. You know, and it's kind of like geared, a lot of the stuff is geared towards smaller farms, you know, 10 acres and under, which is a lot of the listeners have their own place. So, yeah, we did one on.
You talk about watering solutions. Is that for like arenas or what are you talking about there?
Well, the question was, I think it was Chrissy from Arizona, Gal wrote in, of course, from Arizona, the dry state. wanted to know about, you know, how do we water the arena? And because, you know, we've done a lot of stuff with building the arena and stuff, and a lot of that's been published online as well. People kind of following that path, and she's like, well, how the heck do you water it? And the solution that we use especially is an automatic watering system that's like a little cart that you push up, you plug a regular old hose into, you stretch it out, you lock the turbine, and you turn on your water, and it's powered by water, and it just reels itself back in and ticks around and waters your arena. And
you mean
really,
the whole
really
cart
cool.
wheels around?
Yeah, the whole cart wheels around. It's like
it's sort
it's like,
of like one of those vacuums that you have, Jamie, only for your arena.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a really small device. It's like the size of a regular, you know, those hose reels that you can buy at your, you know, local home shopping store or whatever.
It's a Roomba.
It's a little bit bigger than a Roomba, but it's kind of like a Roomba. Yeah, it just wheels itself in, and then when it's done, it shuts itself off. But the cool thing about that, I answered a question about, you know, how we wire the arena with a little demo of it, and you can see it online. But you can also use it. It's kind of cool. Like in the summer here, last summer here at least, it was so, so dry. And so it's kind of cool for watering driveways or pastures. You know, if you have a small pasture, you can do it in a single pass.
Wow, that's cool. I never heard of that.
I hadn't either, and somebody turned it on to me last year.
Where can we look at that? Where can we see a picture of it?
It's actually, if you go to horsegirltv.com on the main page, for the next month it'll be on the main page as one of our sliders on the top. There's usually four on the top that slide through. And I think the title for that one, we called it Straightforward Watering Solutions. And you can see a picture of it straight on the website. If you just go to horsegirltv.com, it'll probably be right now from how the launch cycle is. It'll probably be the first picture up there.
It's cool.
You see it? Yeah, it's called Rapid Rain. They make other products, but the one we use is Rapid Rain. And it's a pretty cool little gadget, I think.
See, Jamie's in Arizona, so she's looking at this.
Yeah. You should contact them. It's a really neat tool, and it does have a lot of applications besides just arena water. You know, I can put it in the 20-meter circle, water the garden, and really you don't need any fancy hoses or anything. You just plug it in to a regular water hose, and it's powered off PSI from the water hose.
Awesome. Cool. I'm excited. I'm gonna look at that one. I'm gonna watch that video.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, and they have one that is not just geared for dressage, but the passes that they have one that we have as a size for a 20 by 40 dressage court, but they also make a little bit larger one that'll do a 20 by 60 in a single pass. You can do a full dressage court. So.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, speaking
yeah.
of dressage, I saw something yeah. that, and I didn't quite understand it, so you have to explain it because, you know, our audience is everybody from Western to English all across the board. I saw that you're a USCF L candidate, and what does that mean?
That is, I don't know if they call it, it's a learner candidate for becoming a judge in the USEF eventually. USDF has the learner L candidate
program.
That's
the United States Dressage Federation.
The U.S. Dressage Federation. And you do three beginning sessions of where you do biomechanics, judging skills, confirmation, and it's like a 300-page textbook kind of deal. It's a massive amount of information, and so you take those sessions, and I'm at the very beginning of that. And
okay, so
then
so
there's a second
your goal
session
is to eventually be a judge then.
I don't know. I don't want to say yes or no to that now. I learned so much. I just have only, there's A, B, and C session that I'm in the process of doing, and I just finished A with Janet Brown Foy. And I learned so much just about myself as a rider and training my horse just from that one session. So for anybody that is interested in dressage and has the ability, you know, you have to have certain requirements to be a candidate, it's definitely something that I think can just improve your training and your knowledge of the dressage world or riding in general. So I don't want to say my end solution or end goal with it is to be a judge, but it's a possibility for sure.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know what
yeah.
that was, so that's pretty neat. So becoming a judge, you know, I think a lot of people think that it's just people they pick that have been in that discipline for a while, and apparently not. Apparently, you have to actually know some stuff too.
You do. It's a pretty involved process these days, and it takes a lot just to get entered into a program because the programs do fill up quickly, but also because there are, I think, for this program, you have to have competed successfully through, I don't know if it's pre-St. George or no, that's for the, I believe it's just through second level that you have to have certain scores of certain percentage or higher. But then when you go on to the USEF, the U.S. Equestrian Federation, the whole national governing body, then you have to have scores at FEI or higher for the dressage judging. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's an involved process, and I think in a lot of ways it really made me value the judges that we have in America or, you know, in the world, just because the process to do it's a relatively thankless process. It's a lot of money involved. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of dedication to the sport. There's not a big, you know, there's not a buyback on it. You're not going to get that money back through, you know, judging shows because, you know, judges do get paid. But I don't think the buyback is there. I think you just really have to truly be passionate about your sport to want to do it. So
sure. Well, before we have to wrap with you here, I got a question for you. You know, your website, is fantastic. For those who haven't gone to horsegirltv.com, you have to check it out because there's these little squares and they're all the videos, but, you know, you run your mouse over it and it tells you what you're about to watch. And for those of us, Glenn, who has no attention span, they are nice short videos and they're fantastic because they keep you interested. And I wanted to ask you, I mean, there's things on nutrition, there's different interviews, there's mounted police, there's, you know, riding in the winter, there's the best riding breed. What do you think your most popular video has been?
You know, the most popular, the most hits?
Yeah.
If you're talking iTunes and the website and our YouTube channel, they're all really different. And off the top of my head, really quickly, I can tell you that the innovative riding breeches from 5 years ago with innovators of the Fitz breeches, Cheryl Rudolph, was by far, it is hands down the most popular one on YouTube. On our site, it's really hard to say because there is so many, but one really popular one is on the Amish Built Modular Barns where they came and, like, set up this barn in 3 hours at the studio. It was rather amazing.
Oh, wow.
And people seem to gravitate to that.
Did you do time-lapse photography?
We did video, yeah. Yeah, we sped it up, and it was yeah, I those guys were amazing. They were hanging on ladders with a chainsaw in one hand, trimming my trees to accommodate for the barn. They offloaded the thing in about 15 minutes off the back of a semi. That one, the editing-wise, I value that one myself actually quite a bit because our editor did an amazing job with that. As far as I think the pre-roll before the interview was just brilliant. And we didn't include a blooper in that. That I really wanted to because I said cut when his phone started ringing, and it was just so wonderful to be sitting there talking to Jake of Jane Instructors with the Amish. He is an Amish gentleman, and with the hat and the suspenders and all that, and his mobile phone goes off, and I thought, oh, everything moving forward into the future is, you know, it was awesome. And I said, oh, cut. And I think they thought I meant cut. And I was like, oh, we'll just take a break. And I said it wrong. I thought, oh, that would have been brilliant to have as an outtake.
So well,
he's like,
yeah.
No, I'm being interviewed by Horse Girl TV right now. Can I call you back? And it was awesome.
We grew up in Amish country up in Pennsylvania, and they were allowed to have phones in the barn or out in mm-hmm. their office space, which was usually what looked like an outhouse outside. It was about that big or an extra mm-hmm. large phone booth. And then they would have their phone in there. And then when cell phones came along, you'd go out and you'd go to auctions or things where there were a lot of Amish around, and they'd all be on their cell phones. And it's the most bizarre thing because, you know, we grew up with them not being allowed to have phones. So when they all have their cell phones, they're just not allowed to use the cell phone even in the house. They have to leave it in the barn. So it's just kind of a bizarre rule.
But they were Jake was the cool. That was one of I love a lot all my interviews, but he was just a super fun, interesting guy to talk to.
Well, Angela, we have to run here. We have to wrap up the show here shortly. Thank you so much for being part of it, and that's horsegirltv.com. Go click on all the little videos and check them out, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me on, guys. See you soon.
All right, bye, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
Well, there we go. We've been all over the place today from riding in the Mongol Derby for 1,000 kilometers with the wonderful sweet. I can't say her name fits her. I can't say that enough. She's just sweet. Sarah Lee.
She is. Oh, that is the worst pun I have ever heard.
I know. She
Sarah
posted
Lee,
on
so
Facebook.
Sweet.
She posted on Facebook. She said, thanks so much for having me on. That was fun. And I was so nervous about ringing you. So glad I did now. You guys are lovely. Keep up the good work. Well, you were lovely too, Sarah Lee. We appreciate that. And we got a bunch of people commenting also on going to Graceland and saying that we're going to love it there. And it had so much fun, and we're going to love the decor and the house and everything. So we appreciate all the postings there and everybody who posted on Facebook this morning.
Oh my gosh. So does that mean I get to go?
Well, you know, we thought you wouldn't want to go because it's 2 weeks after you're going to be here in Lexington for the Rolex event. And then, you know, your husband's only going to put up with you being gone so long now that he has to take care of the horses and the puppies. So we're actually looking after your husband here He will call and thank me later.
That's all I hear is blah, 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 blah. I want to go. anyway, what do we have tomorrow on the show? I think it's pretty exciting, actually, for tomorrow's show.
We have one of your favorite breeds, I think.
I knew I liked it. Okay, here it is. We are going to talk to people about Lusitanos. And I hope, I don't know who we're interviewing about the Lusitanos, but I hope he has an accent like this and he talks about the horses like this.
His last name is Van Borst, so I'm sure there's going to be an accent.
So you're sure to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah! Woohoo! Love it!
That all right, everybody. Cool. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We have 8 of them total. This is just 1 of 8, so check out all the other ones as well. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. Your turn.
If you missed a live show, listen to recorded ones on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. And we're going to be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with a look at Lusitano horses, caballos, and Fran Yerga's almanac. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Glenn. Ride safely, everybody.